This is Fresh Air. Vacation leave and sick days are pretty standard benefits for most working people. But employee benefits which recognize the needs of raising a family are not so prevalent. Sylvia Ann Hewlett is an economist who thinks about what it takes to raise kids. She's distressed about how private and public policies are putting children in this country at risk by ignoring the needs of the family. She's the author of When the Bough Breaks, The Cost of Neglecting Our Children. Hewlett calls for nationalized health insurance, a child support program, and other government programs which invest in children. And she says there are some corporate policies that would quickly pay for themselves.
There are now about four studies done by firms as different as IBM and Merck, which really show that if you provide decent parenting leave with suitable job protections, you really reduce your turnover costs. We are in a labor scarce economy these days where skills are really quite hard to find. Now, obviously, if you create a maternity or parenting leave policy which makes it possible for that woman to go on working for your company, you really avoid those costs. And Merck has found that for each employee that they keep as a result of their now good parenting leave policies, they save about $12,000 to $18,000, because those are the costs that they would have incurred had they lost the worker. So I guess what I'm trying to say, and I really spell out all of these studies in my book, there is now quite a lot of impressive data that shows that parenting leave is really a good idea for the firm as well as for the parent and the child. In fact, you know, when President Bush vetoed that parenting leave bill last year, the day after, there was a letter written into the Washington Post by the CEO of Control Data. And it said, "Dear Mr. President, you did not do your homework. Had you looked at the data, you could have figured out that parenting leave is one of the best investments any firm can make." And it was interesting that that response really came from the private sector, from a firm that had had those policies in place for a while.
Why then don't we see the private sector rallying around these ideas, which include parental leave, child care, prenatal and maternal leave, and many other reforms that you outline in your book?
Well, we're beginning to see it. Marty, one very interesting fact is that the number of companies that have packages of benefits and policies around families has quadrupled over the last 5 years. That is really a very rapid rate of increase. Now, obviously, you're much more likely to get these ideas spreading if we had a little leadership from Washington. I mean, what I advocate in my book is that the kind of data that I've put together, the kind of data that, you know, the CEO of Control Data is in touch with, is really made available for companies across America, because clearly, you know, small and medium-sized firms perhaps don't have the resources to do these kinds of studies. But I think if we had some real drive and leadership on these issues, you would see the private sector moving even faster, because we are moving into a decade of very severe skill shortages. Just think of it, only 10% of the incoming workers over the next decade will be white males. Everyone else will either be a working mother or a member of a minority. And these groups do need these kinds of supports if they're to become productive workers. Otherwise, the various, you know, burdens in their lives really get in the way of continuous employment and that kind of thing. And I think increasingly any firm that looks into the future realizes that family supports has to be part of any productive workforce as you head towards the end of this century.
Americans get a tax deduction for their children. Can you compare this to a universal child allowance? Are these two different ways of coming to the same end?
Well, I think that a child allowance or family allowance is a rather better way of dealing with the issue of how to, you know, put more money in the pockets of those who are raising children. Because if it is universal and is not kind of dependent on earning power, it really gives more support to those who need it more. In other words, what I would like to see is some kind of flat family allowance, several thousands of dollars per child, that is given to any parent who is raising a child, say, under 6 years old. And that is not only a very fair and non-bureaucratic response to the problem, but I think it also gives a great deal of choice to the parent, because you can either use that money and help it subsidize your life so that you perhaps can work part-time instead of full-time for those years and actually look after your child part of the time yourself, or you can use it to buy better childcare.
What countries have a universal child allowance, and what have been the benefits to that country?
Most countries do. I've counted about 18 in Europe. Canada, Australia has it. In some of these countries, it's not a very significant sum of money, but it does provide some kind of cushion for those early years of life. And in again, most of these countries, they have upgraded this allowance in recent years. I think that, you know, say $3,000 per child up until age six would make a significant difference.
If you're just joining us, I'm speaking with Sylvia Ann Hewlett. She's an economist and the author of a book called When the Bough Breaks, The Cost of Neglecting Our Children. We're going to take a short break. This is Fresh Air. I'm speaking with Sylvia Ann Hewlett, and her book is called When the Bough Breaks. There's some evidence to show that people are working much more than a 40-hour work week, that there really is a lengthening of the work week. Is that a sign of some kind of work insecurity, that unless you put in the 50 or 60 hours, you might be out of a job?
Absolutely. And again, the figures are very dramatic. Between 1980 and 1990, the number of hours spent on the job went up about 6 hours per week for each working American. Children are facing the consequences of this increase in the work week. If both mom and dad are at work, you know, 6 hours more per week than they used to, clearly that eats into the amount of time available for children. You know, there was one interesting study in California recently which looked at eighth grade students, kids that, you know, are at an age where substance abuse is beginning to be a problem for the first time. And they found that the number of hours these youngsters were left at home without an adult present was the biggest indicator of whether that child would get involved in drugs or alcohol. And they really tested it across class, across race. And it didn't matter whether you were black or white. It didn't matter what income group you came from. What did matter was how many hours you were at home alone during the week. And interestingly enough, you know, the kid that was at greatest risk of substance abuse in this study was the kid with the two professional parent family. In other words, you know, if you have a mom that has a job, at least she will be home by, you know, 5:30, 6 o'clock. But if you have a mom that has a career, maybe she's not home till 8 o'clock. And it was the children of the high-achieving professional couple that seemed to come out, you know, the worst in this study, because they saw the least of their parents of any in the group.
Are you calling for then a return to traditional roles? Are you saying that children really are going to be better off if their mothers stay at home and take care of them and the house?
Marty, I'm very glad you asked me that directly. I'm not advocating that at all. You know, in some ways, we sometimes look back at the 1950s, you know, the Norman Rockwell America, where you had the breadwinning husband and the homemaking wife, you know, the two kids, the dog, the station wagon, the whole bit, as a very attractive and appealing vision of what family life should be like. Well, I guess what I try and prove over and over again in my book is that vision, that kind of leave it to beaver America, has really gone for good. And I think the great goal of policy over the next 10 years is to produce a more palatable reality, to change, you know, the workplace so that you can produce the flexibility to make it work better for the family. And let me just be very specific here. American Express is a company right now that's experimenting with giving parents the gift of time. And they don't mean giving, you know, women 10 years off so they can be 1950s moms. They don't mean that at all. What they mean is that they will be flexible in terms of hours. They will create at-home options. They will create compressed work weeks so that working parents can work a full 40-hour week in, say, a three-day long weekend. And if you look at the most imaginative companies right now, they're really changing the rules in terms of when, where, and how work is done. And I think that is the great challenge of the 1990s, to make work and family more compatible by being imaginative, particularly in terms of time scheduling.
Are there some lessons in Social Security, which has been able to bring really millions of elderly out of poverty? Can we apply those same lessons and even the same economic policy to the nation's children?
Well, this is a very critical issue because right now, we spend something like 28% of the federal budget on the elderly and just 4% on children. And what I suggest is that, how come we've managed to give such priority to the elderly and have really failed to give any priority to children whatsoever? And, you know, one of the tricks, obviously, with the very successful movement on behalf of the elderly is that it's worked for the kind of universal benefit of all elderly people. In other words, it hasn't just been the elderly in need that have benefit. It's really been right across classes, and mainstream elderly people really benefit enormously too. And in a sense, I'd like to borrow some of that logic and apply it to children. I think, for instance, things like a child allowance, things like parenting leave should be universally available. And I feel in a way that if we had an organization for parents like the AARP, which has been, so successful in mobilizing the elderly, we would be able to mobilize this parental, block of voters and make their voice heard in Washington.
Sylvia Ann Hewlett is an economist and author of When the Bough Breaks, The Cost of Neglecting Our Children. This is Fresh Air.